This is part two of a Bible teaching by David E. Ball titled Adoption.
The redemption, that's the same thing as your adoption, is very near at the opening of the sixth seal. Now, for those that are new and haven't been with us, I'm not going to take the time right now to go through hours and hours about, you know, sun, diamond, moon, and blood and all that kind of stuff. You can study a lot of our books and that kind of stuff. But we believe that the sixth seal is just about to open. We think it's going to open at 9:30. Huh?
Oh, that's right.
15
more minutes.
Yeah. Well, now, I didn't prophesy that the sixth seal is going to open at 9:30. I'm just conducting my life as though it's going to open at 9:30. Now, if you hear some strange beeping noises at 9:30... Well, you see, it's like this. I've been thinking that the sixth seal is going to open momentarily for a long, long time. But one of these days, I'll be right and you'll be wrong. Because it's going to hit. It's right around the corner. Well, in fact, I honestly believe it's already open. Mm-hmm. I believe it opened on June the 7th, 1967. I'm not going to try to force that down your throat. I'm not going to, you know, that's not a condition of our fellowship. But I believe that the sixth seal began to open, the fifth seal began to shut. Now, it's kind of like a lot of other things. You can't, you know, it's not all at once. It's not a finite date. But it's happening with the end of one age, the beginning of a brand new age. How many already knew that, whether religious or not? I mean, just look around. We're at the end of one age, the beginning of a brand new age. And Jesus said to those that are alive and remain, the opening of the sixth seal, they're going to be here at the blowing of the seventh trumpet. That's what he said. And I heard the seventh angel sound. And a great voice from heaven said, now the kingdoms of our Lord have become the kings of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. That, sometimes I just feel religious every time I do that. Makes me feel good. You know, every time I recite that scripture, I go back to my old Assembly of God days and believe in the rapture for a minute. When it's going to be at the opening of the sixth seal, and those in Matthew 24 and Revelation 6, I'm not going to go into that now. How is a big thing for us? So turn to Galatians 4 to find out how that adoption takes place. Galatians 4. Have you noticed your Bible has been flipped back and forth a lot tonight? Now, the reason we did that is because we thought it was going to be hot and we wanted the fan. Now, I say then, I'm in verse 1. Now I say there. Son, the heir, as long as he's a child, deals nothing from a servant. They'll be Lord of all. Who's he talking about?
Us.
But we are put under tutors, governors, until the time appointed of the Father. Now here's a big problem. They saw many of these truths back in the early 50s. Actually, started 48. And those men, especially coming from mainly from California, began to claim by faith they were manifest. And it was time to be manifest. Now, we have shown you some scriptures. In Romans 8:24, it says this salvation is by hope, not faith. Now, what's the difference between faith and hope? Well, faith is for the now, hope is for the future. But they took that which the Bible says is for the future, and they claimed it for the present, the now. Now, have I been working with you in verb tense all through this thing? You see, past, present, future, constantly. I'm trying to let you see that some scriptures are ours. We can claim them. Take your healing by faith. Now is the time to heal. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, take it. You see. But we cannot enter into the manifestation of the glory in our physical bodies because that day is not for us to declare. That day is declared by the Father. So we are placed under the tutors and governors. These guys declared that was the day. They claimed that they, by faith, that they were manifest. Now, we have already established the fact that all of us are being saved in our... And so are those guys. But if we're being saved in our souls, that means parts of our souls are not yet cleansed. Come on. Now, that's harder, but not yet anyway, admit it. Part of our souls, minds, are not yet fully what they ought to be. Come on. And it was true of those guys, too. But they claimed that they were manifest sons of God, and then they did things that no manifest son of God would do, bringing disrepute to a beautiful message. And they did all kinds of, can I say, soulish things, claiming that since they're manifest sons of God, it must be of God, or it wouldn't have given them those thoughts. You see how their mind got twisted up. And then they did the worst thing of all, and brought terrible disrepute when they died. Just ruined the whole thing. Said they wouldn't, said they couldn't, and they did. Now I'm trying to correct a mistake of the 1950s. Now I think I have a right to do that, and I have a right to talk about those guys, but I've never mentioned their names, have I? But I could mention some names, but I don't feel that that would be, the best thing for all of us. Some of them didn't die, and some of them are still around. And some of them still can't understand why they, you know, what happened back then. But little by little, through correspondence and other things, I think that we're making some headway in causing even some of those fellows, some of the old gray-haired guys of the faith, to be able to see that they made a mistake in claiming by faith that which the Bible says is by hope. For it's not at the time that the Son appoints, it's the time appointed by, let's say it, Father. Okay. At that time, the Father appoints the Son, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the, what's the next word, please? Now, somebody say in the Greek. Yes, that's close, but elements. You remember Stoichions, the lesson on Stoichions? We're under the stoichions, the rudimentary primary principles of this world. And in, listen, every case, the word elements, stoichions, is law of Moses. And if you don't believe it, just read on. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth the Son, made a woman, made under the what? L-A-W. To redeem that them that were under the what? That we might receive the adoption of sons. Now listen. I looked up the word redemption and adoption in my library, and I got a pretty big library, a theological library, in every dictionary, every encyclopedia, every concordance, every commentary that I found, they all said that we are redeemed from sin. How many know that sounds like a quarterly. Your quarterly. Redeemed from sin? We're redeemed from sin. That is not biblical. I couldn't find it ever once that we're redeemed from sin. No, friends? We're redeemed from the law. Every reference to the redemption and the adoption says we're redeemed from the law. And while I've got you on that point, now let's look at the chart. The word adoption, huiothesia, means to place in a passive or horizontal posture. I'm going to emphasize certain words, and you'll see why in a minute. It means to bow, commit, conceive. I'm emphasizing words like bow and conceive, and kneel down. Lay down, lay aside, lay up, to make, ordain, and I'm going to hit this ordain real hard in a minute, to settle or sink down. To adopt is to assume a reclining position. Are you following this? The basic principle in the Greek. If you adopt, you recline. Well, I never figured that adoption had anything to do with reclining. Did you? Well, I got a few more eye-openers for you here in just a minute. What do they call those recliner chairs?
Lazy boy.
Lazy boy. All right, these are the lazy boy adoption chairs. The reclining chairs. Let me get that point. Now let's take the next point. The word redemption, apolutrosis. Did I do that halfway right? Apolutrosis? Never mind, it's all Greek. Redemption has to do with, listen, it usually denotes separation, departure, cessation, completion, reversal. It is something to loosen with, to redeem. It's a redemption price. It's to loosen, break off, put off, destroy. It's even, redemption is even translated divorce in the Bible. Now, when I went to Sunday school, I got the idea that if I was redeemed, I was going to heaven, right? If you're redeemed, you're going to heaven. If you're redeemed, you're going to be with God. But I want to challenge you. There's nothing in the Word to indicate going to anything. You're redeemed from, you're not redeemed to. You follow this? You're redeemed from. You're purchased from, you're loosed from. Redemption is to take you from that thing that's holding you. So the fellow that's down on Baltimore Avenue with the bail bond center, and he sells bail bonds for guys that are in jail, he's a redeemer. He's taking them from, you understand this, he's redeeming them from the buyers. Now, he doesn't know what they're going to go to. His job is to take them from. And Jesus is our Redeemer. So he takes us from. From sin? Let's get it straight. No, sir. It's from the law. He redeems us from the law. We see, when the law came, sin revived, and I died. And the only way you're going to overcome the last enemy, which is death, is to be redeemed from the law. But don't you see, the reason that you're dying is because you've already planned it. Now let's do that again. You have seeds placed in your mind that have taught you to get ready to die. You have all kinds of laws placed in your mind saying, do this, don't do that. This is the way to find favor with God. And Jesus is trying to redeem you from that so that you can actually overcome the last enemy, which is death. But you can't do that when you're led by the law. Because as many as are led by the law, they're the Paideon, Pais, Technons. Only the Huios. They're the ones that are going to be lying in the kingdom of Christ. They're led not by the law, they're led by the said Spirit. So being led of the Spirit, and somebody saying, well, Ebal, that's a very, very dangerous thing to teach. Now, just a minute. If you're led of the Spirit, you wouldn't do those things you're thinking about anyway. Come on. See, you're not free to do things like that. You're just freed from the law that talks that way, and you're taken to the four commandments that Jesus gave. And would you agree that if you were a lover, you wouldn't do that anyway? Come on. Whatever the thing's got you hung up right now. And but I also admit that this kind of teaching is kind of, well, it'd be dangerous to teach this in kindergarten. You understand? Because kindergarten kids need laws. Somebody has to draw them a picture and say, stay in those lines. No, you cannot get up now. Hold your hand. You know, that kind of stuff. But here, we're under grace. We're growing up. For that reason, I've made some change in my booking situation, and I want everybody to know it right now. One of the major changes that I made of late, I will not go to any church anymore where the preacher has not heard me teach. You understand? Because it's not fair to the preacher or me. I just will not go to a church or society or group where the preacher, that I'm talking about the final authority, has not heard me. Now, if that final authority has heard me, heard my tapes, read some of my literature, and wants me to come, I'm happy to come. But if there are some people in his society, a group that have gone to him and say, hey, you ought to get this guy in and teach us, do you know what? Every time I've gone there, I've become a threat to his authority. The noise you hear is the opening of the sixth seal. Oh, let's keep going here. I'm running out of time. We're under tutors and governors. Under bondage of the elements of the world, when the fullness of the time has come, God sent for, I'm in four now, sent for the Son, made of woman, made under the L-A-W, to redeem them that were under the law, we might receive the adoption. Now we're talking about adoption and redemption and sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying what?
Abba.
Abba, Father. What's Abba mean?
Daddy.
Daddy. Daddy. Well, most of us thought of God a long time ago as an old man, 1,000 years old, and he's got a beard that's down to his knees, you know, all that kind of stuff, and he's sitting on a throne that's 10,000 miles away. But if he's your Abba, if he's your daddy, that picture won't work. Now, suppose I ask you to help me tonight and talk to Larry Fink. Some of you know that Larry Fink is the guy who draws the pictures for me in the Monarch. And I want you to describe to Larry and ask Larry to draw a picture or a cartoon like we show in the Monarch of God and you calling him daddy. What position should Larry draw God in? What posture? What posture should you be in? What should you be doing when you're calling him daddy? What picture is the best? All right, he would be looking up. The daddy would be sitting with me, generally, and the child would be on his lap, knee. I'm glad you're using those words, because I'm going to emphasize those in a minute. Lap, knee, thigh. And the child would check him on the chin and say, you know, daddy, loving, you know, old loving father. Everything's been so good, you know, all this kind of stuff. Hurry, now you've got the picture of a loving daddy, loving son, child, daughter, whatever, on the father's lap. Okay. Now we've done all the, where am I now? We've done all this adoption and redemption stuff here. I don't think I'll do any more of that. I got to get to the story real quick before. Well, it's almost time for the introduction to the lesson to be over. And I want to get right into the story. Here's the story of the lesson. It has to do first with Rachel and Bilhah. Turn with me to Genesis. You're going to see why it took me so long to get ready to tell this story. I had to set a lot of seeds and new ideas tonight before we're ready for the story. In verse 3, according to all Jewish theological historians, the scriptures that I'm going to give you tonight are of Old Testament adoptions. Are you hearing it? Now, I cannot prove this with the actual word in the Hebrew, but according to every Hebrew, Jewish historian, they all agree these are adoptions. One took place, I'm in Genesis chapter 30, verse 3, page 53. And Rachel said, behold, Abraham, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees that I might have children after her. You may not have noticed that before, but that's a very strange midwife position. Because when Bilhah brought forth the babe was placed directly on Rachel's knees. I get a picture of this in my graphic display. A baby being born and placed on the knees for the placing on the lap, knee, thigh, leg is a symbol of adoption. That's why she did it. And if she wasn't going to adopt that baby, there sure wouldn't have been any reason for her to be in, say, midwife in such a position. Am I making sense on it? How many are finding this is a new idea anyway, that the baby was on her knees? Yeah, it's new, isn't it, you see? It's there all the time, but we just didn't notice it. Just didn't see it. But the baby's brought on her knees now. And I don't know exactly how, you know, I don't understand the whole thing, but I assume that there was probably, this was at the umbilical cord stage and all this kind of stuff. This was at the actual birth process, you see, because this is going to be her baby from birth. And in fact, in a sense, it was her baby from prior to conception. At least the idea was conceived in her own mind, not in anybody else's. So we see an adoption in this realm. Now there's another adoption that I want to take you to, and that's in the book of Ruth. Turn with me to Ruth. Now Ruth is kind of hard to find, so we want to fool around Kings and Chronicles and Samuel and that kind of stuff. And you go to the left and you find Judges, and right stuck in the middle is Ruth. Between Judges and then all the King stuff. Now in 3:12, Ruth 3:12, how many remember the story about Boaz and Ruth and Naomi and all that kind of stuff and gleaning the fields? Okay, here we are. Now in chapter 3, there had been this great big banquet, and they were in a barn, and it was a barn dance. And after the barn dance, and there had been all of the other things that accompany a social occasion, this affair, Boaz is asleep on the floor, on the dance floor. Now, you can try to figure out what would make a guy fall asleep on the dance floor. One fellow said hard water. But anyway, Boaz was out. You got the picture? Boaz is under the table. All right. And in 8, it came to pass at midnight, and the man was afraid. And he turned himself, and behold, there was a woman laying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, thy handmaiden. Spread, therefore, thy garment, skirt, over thy handmaiden, for thou art now, your Bible says a near kinsman, but that is wrong. That in the Hebrew, every student agrees, there's no argument, thou art my said redeemer. For thou art my redeemer. You are my adopter. You are the one who must adopt me. You are my redeemer. Spread the border of thy mantle over me." You remember the song? "Spread She was laying at his feet, legs, knee. Follow what I'm doing here. He was reclining. She was reclining. Are you following the meaning of the words here? You seeing what they were doing? This is an adoption. And she said, now to prove that I am adopted, you must now spread your skirt over me. Cover me. Cover me. Extend the border of that garment over me. For you are my adopter. You are my redeemer. You are my provider. Now that was an adoption. But it was also a symbol for matrimony later. For you see, matrimony and adoption are very, very closely associated. Now if that didn't make sense, let's move down the aisle. And we'll look at Abie. He's 21 years old now. He's got a little skull cap on. They call that a yarmulke. Remember that? The yarmulke? That is not a Japanese motorcycle. And he's turned to Sarah, or whatever her name is, and she's so happy. This is her day. She's all dressed in white. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And they're headed down to the synagogue. And as they go in, down at the front are four young boys, all wearing yarmulkes, all holding vertical poles. And at the top of the poles, stretched out, is a, say it, canopy, covering. Covering.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.